We ask that you will open our eyes to see that which you have prepared for us and give us understanding in your word. I pray that you give me the anointing to be able to say that which you have given me to say, and that nothing will be able to stand between me and your people. We take every spirit in this room under the control of the Holy Spirit. Have your way and bless us here today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The title of my message this morning is The Lesson of Easter. The Lesson of Easter. Matthew 28 is where we are reading from. And I'm going to read the first 6 verses of that chapter. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word in Jesus' name. I have heard many Easter sermons over the course of my life, and I have delivered many Easter sermons myself. The joy of preaching an Easter sermon is that the Easter story is so very simple and very clear. The difficulty of preaching an Easter sermon is also because the story is very simple and very clear. Like any other story that you have heard before, it is very, very possible to slip from a listening mode this morning to one where you just let the words that you hear float by. And you say to yourself in a subconscious way, oh yeah, I've heard that story before, and I know what that story is all about. Our minds then drift as the sermons go forth. And before you know it, the sermon is over. You shake your head and shake hands with your friends and head to the parking lot. I want to plead with you this morning to give me your listening ears, because I believe God has given me a message that is a message of hope. Because basically that is what the resurrection story is all about. The resurrection story is about the capture of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on a bad Friday. I know because of the resurrection now we refer to it as Good Friday. But really, it wasn't a Good Friday that day. It was a very, very bad Friday. Amazingly, it was a contrast to a few days before that time when he made his triumphant entry riding on the colt. And everyone was screaming and shouting, Hosanna! 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 No one would have thought that the same people that shouted Hosanna will turn around a few days after that and nail him to the cross. But that's how human beings are. Ultimately, he was arrested. He was tried. And he was sentenced to die. Then he was crucified at a place known as the Skull. Hanging on the tree between two thieves. It was on the cross. He spoke those seven words, a good number of which we used for our prayers this past week. And by the way, if you weren't here with us this past week and you would like a tape of all the prayers we prayed last week, we have them available. Let me especially recommend the one for last week, Wednesday, when Jesus looked at his mother and he said, Woman, behold thy son. And he said, Son, that's your mom now. And he, John, took her home and he lived with her for the rest of her life. Not her son. In no way related to her, but he took care of her. And I told the brethren who were here last week, Wednesday, I believe it was, that one of the reasons John was the only one who died a natural death, one of the reasons why John was the only one who lived a long life, actually he lived longest among the disciples, is because God gave him an assignment that he couldn't finish if death took him away. And we said last week, Wednesday, that God is a God that connects people with people. And one of the things in life that can elevate you and take you to another level is if you will know somebody that God will connect you with. They can bring about easy solutions to many of the problems that you face in life. I told them on Wednesday before we prayed that we live in America where everybody lives an independent life. But I happen to come to a part from a part of the world where connection is everything. And up until today, you need to be connected. And we prayed and prayed. Last week was a glorious prayer that the Lord will connect us on our jobs and our families. Everywhere we go in business, you need connection. And Jesus did that before he died. He connected his mother with the one that will take care of her for the rest of her life. The Lord will connect you. I said the Lord will connect you. In every way that you need connection in the mighty. I told them on Wednesday that sometimes you go and you are taken care of by a doctor that doesn't know what he's doing. And almost as if they look through your body and they use it for experiment. But I've seen many people who have been through that and all of a sudden somebody says, oh, I know of a doctor somewhere that can help you. He's a specialist in this problem that faces you. And he goes to that doctor and just like that, the problem is over. That's connection. In every way that you need connection, the Lord will connect you in the name of Jesus. He spoke those seven words on the cross of Calvary. And the last word he spoke, before he spoke the last word, was that it is finished. And thereafter, he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he then yielded up the ghost. Not that death took him. No. Death has no power over him. He gave his life. And then they took him and buried him in a borrowed grave. On the first day of the week, The ladies came, as we see in our passage this morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They came to the graveside to see if he was still there. But they were surprised to find out that the one who died and the one who was buried with a stone rolled over his grave so he will not wake up and escape or people come and snatch him and carry him away, had already gone. They looked everywhere. They couldn't find him. But ultimately, the Bible tells us he made himself known unto them. They actually thought he was the gardener. But when he called their name and he said, Mary, the moment he called Mary's name, their eyes were opened and she said, Master. He said, don't touch me, because I'm yet to go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. He said, but go back home. Tell my disciples and Peter also. Tell them to come meet me in Galilee. And then in many ways, he made himself known to many people. The story is one that you all know well. As I look at this story this past week, I ask myself, what will God have me say to you? And I resolved I will take one lesson out of the many lessons we can learn from the resurrection story and apply it to what we have to say this morning. Many, many, many lessons. But the one that jumps out to me and grabs my attention above all others is the one I want to share with you for the next few minutes. And it is this. No matter how bad my Friday may be, there is a Sunday around the corner. I wanted you to help me turn to someone and tell them this morning, no matter how bad your Friday is, there is a Sunday around the corner. Turn to someone else and tell them, no matter how bad my Friday is, your Friday is. Woo, there is a Sunday around the corner. Come on, let me give the Lord a big hand for that truth. No matter how bad your Friday is, ladies and gentlemen, there is always a Sunday around the corner. David said it many, many, many years before that time in the book of Psalms. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, for Jesus, that Friday was a day of betrayal. It was a day of false accusations. That Friday was a day of standing alone when he should have been surrounded by his friends. That Friday was a day of beating. That Friday was a day of torture. It was a day of pain. It was a day when he had to keep his mouth shut, when he was more than able to defend himself. That Friday for him was a day when the sky was dark. It was a day of despair. It was a day of shame. It was a day of anguish. It was a day of embarrassment. And to top it all, it was a day of death. And there are three groups of people here this morning. There are those who have been through many bad Fridays. In this room this morning is another group. Those who are going through bad Fridays. And in this room this morning are people who will ultimately go through bad Fridays. Like the Lord, you've been through betrayals. You've seen false accusers rise up against you. You found out what it means to stand alone when you should have been surrounded by support from friends. You found yourself tortured emotionally, sometimes even physically. You've experienced pain. Many times you've had to keep your mouth shut when you could have easily defended yourself. For many of you, you have experienced despair, shame, and anguish. And you understand very well what embarrassment means. You have not died physically, but you've died many, many, many times. I thank you for coming to church this morning, because I have a word for you from the Lord. I look at the Lord and I say to myself, the worst part of Good Friday for him wasn't because of what his adversaries did against him. Because a person can handle that. You expect your adversaries to do some things. So it wasn't a surprise that they did what they did. So the worst part for Jesus was not what his enemies did. It was what his friends did. That's the truth. Jesus was arrested at Gethsemane because of a friend. Because of a friend. His enemies didn't even know who he was. It was a friend that came and kissed him. And you will have thought he was showing his love for him. But in reality, he was betraying him. That very act of friendship turned into an act of betrayal. Well, if he did that, he at least had 11 other friends. You ask, where were they? Even the one that said, if you die, I will die with you. He was the first one that tucked in his tail and ran for his life. And when they asked him, you are one of them, he said, I don't know the man. And he swore and he cursed on that Friday. Jesus stood alone, falsely accused, betrayed, ladies and gentlemen, and also abandoned. Maybe this morning the same thing is happening to you. Maybe you found out that all the nice things and the warm words of your friends were nothing but a cynical attempt to get you on their good side and on your good side. The man said, a friend that he had known for years, but they've never been together, sent him a note one day. And he said, we've been friends for a long time, but we've never got together for dinner. We've arranged in our other friend's house for a special dinner for you. And he said he was so happy. Oh, I can't wait to be there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he dressed up with his wife, and they went there. When they got there, they found that the invitation for a special dinner was a ploy to attend an armed recruitment program. That's the way man is. They do things to get you to come on their side. And ultimately, you find out that they don't have your interest in mind. Maybe this morning, you've been a victim of betrayal from friends. I want you to look at Jesus. He went through the exact same thing. May I say this to you this morning? Don't ever let anybody tell you that you are not supposed to have bad days. There are churches who have so much faith and teach so much faith that they tell you that as a Christian, you are not supposed to have a bad day. But I thought the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But there is a Sunday that follows every Friday of affliction, because the Lord will ultimately deliver them from every affliction that they go through. Precious hearts, let me say to you this morning, there is no such thing as a testimony without a test. There is no such thing as gain without pain. There is no such thing as triumph without trouble. There is no such thing as a resurrection without a death. And there is no such thing as an Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. We love Easter Sundays, but unfortunately, Fridays come before Sunday. But I've been in this world for a little bit over 50 years. There has never been a week where we had a Friday that we never had a Sunday. And no matter how bad your Friday may be, I just want to say to you this morning, as a servant of the living God, hang on. Sunday is around the corner. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? No matter how bad my Friday is, there is always a Sunday around the corner. I'm happy to tell those of you who are going through gloomy Fridays, please hold on. Your Sunday is around the corner. Sitting in the corner there, it's a woman with a white shirt on and a black hat on. If the enemy were to have her way, she will not be alive today. I wanted to stand and just wave at everybody. Just stand and wave at everybody. Let me give her a big hand. Now, that woman has gone through a lot of gloomy Fridays. Left to the enemy, she's supposed to be dead by now. We're supposed to have done her funeral. But no. Friday will turn into a Saturday. And Saturday will turn into a Sunday. She's enjoying her Sunday now, and she will enjoy many, many, many Sundays in life in the name of Jesus. I remember when she was sick, she would come to church. I went to the store across the street one day, and it was a Bible study day on a Friday. I don't even remember she was coming to church. She had a chair that she walked with. It was, you know, those little round things that look like a walking cane. She will walk from here to this monitor and put down the cane and sit and rest. And I was with her there from around 6:25, just between Hillside Avenue and this place. It took us 30 minutes to get to the church. She will walk a little bit, run out of breath. The doctor said, "This cancer will kill you." The doctor said, "Your heart is enlarged." The doctor said this and the doctor said that. And she will sit down. We will sit and we'll talk and talk and talk. People came by us and got to the church before us. And God was saying, "It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday." But not even cancer can stop my Sunday from coming upon your life. No matter what you are going through this morning, He arose. And He defeated the enemy for your life. So you can say to the enemy, you can say to your sicknesses, to your diseases, you can say to the things that are challenging your life, "I know it's Friday, it's your day, it's your time. Enjoy yourself, but you can't stop me from resurrecting from whatever I'm going through now, because now is Friday, Sunday is around the corner." Let me give the Lord a big hand. Your Sunday is coming. That's what God told me to tell you and to give you a message of hope this morning, that there's going to be a supernatural turnaround for whatever you are going through. Can you imagine what happened that glorious Sunday morning? Soldiers were standing at attention. trying to keep the one that made them bound up. But when the Lord got ready, you know what? You know why you're still going through what you're going through? It's not time yet. That's why. Because when it is time, there will be an instantaneous deliverance for you. That's the truth. When it is time, Saturday came, nothing happened. Saturday night came, nothing happened. Midnight Saturday, nothing happened. But when the exact hour came, the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That means that some power raised the Lord from the dead. Now, when the power of God went inside that grave, he arose. But what about the grave clothes? They're not a problem. What about the stone by the entrance of the grave? It was not a problem. You know what the Lord did? They did not have to unwrap him. Mm-mm. You know, Lazarus, they had to unwrap him. But the Lord just slipped out of the grave clothes and left it the way it is. Let me tell you something. Everything the enemy has put upon you, you are going to leave it behind for them. You will not even need it. Did you hear what I said? When your Sunday comes, he just slipped out of the grave clothes. And before he got to the door, listen to the way God operates. Before he got to the door, the angel was already there. Because in God's timetable, oh God, the Bible says he makes all things what? Beautiful in his time. He never leaves any stone unturned. He knew the Lord will need to get out, so he sent an angel. He said, go roll the stone away. No man could roll that stone away. But the angel just came. I don't know whether he used his breath. I don't know whether he used his finger. But I can say this to you this morning. Whatever stone has kept you blocked, whatever barrier the enemy has put in your way, is going to be rolled away in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you listening to what Bishop is saying this morning? It's Friday. I've always told you the story of my wife and me. We got married and I just guaranteed myself. I deliberately arranged for the marriage to be in January. So that by September there will be twins. Got married January 10, 19 whatever. And I just made a mental calculation by September. It's all done. I didn't know the Friday would be long. Ah, every delay in your life. When God ends up with the delay, he turns you into relay. Do you know what they call a relay race? January, February, March, April, May, June, September. When? January came around. Have you ever celebrated an anniversary crying? That's what Fridays are. Oh, I can never forget those days. My wife will cry like a little baby. And I remember one particular day she cried. She wept. And I went to her and said, don't cry. Everything will be fine. I was a strong man. God was as strong. I said, everything will be fine. And she stopped crying and she smiled. Guess what I did? I wish you were my room. I went to the bathroom because she could see me in the room. I cried. I cried like a... Sir, I came out of the bathroom. And she looked at me. She said, you were there for a long time. I said, yeah, it was hard coming out. Sorry we had to say that in church. Take that off the tape. And she said, your eyes are red. I said, my eyes are red? I said, there's a disease in Africa they call Apollo. I said, maybe it's Apollo coming on me. It was bad. I remember traveling out. In those days, I used to travel. I would travel out with the people in the office. And I remember one time we traveled to a town in the east called Port Harcourt. And we went there, we went to eat dinner. And I couldn't eat. I just stayed in the van that we rented. And I just stayed there. I said, no, I'm not going to eat. I'm fine. Oh, Bishop, Pastor, you're fasting. I said, whatever. But I just stayed there and cried. all through the time they were gone. I said, here I am praying for people to have children, and I can't have children. Here I am telling people to believe God, and I don't see the answer myself. Here I am. I asked myself a lot of questions that I couldn't find answers to. It was Friday. Did you hear what I said? And I remember that month when my wife cried the last cry. Can I say something? There's going to be a month that will be the last month. There's going to be a day that will be the last day. There's going to be an incident that will be the last incident. I remember that day in Tuskegee, Alabama. 1048 Geneva Avenue. My wife started crying again. And as usual, I went to her and I spoke. I didn't know that the angels were around and they took it serious. I said, that's the last time you will ever cry. And you know what? It turned out to be that was the last time she ever cried. Because after that, she became pregnant. And 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 I told God, it's enough. Give it to somebody else. The Lord will turn your Friday into Sunday in the mighty name of Jesus. Weeping may endure for a night. But what's coming? Joy is coming. Joy is coming. The Lord came out. The door was open. The barrier was removed. And I believe God. Every barrier, every hindrance, every blockage that the enemy has put in your way, the Lord will remove for you in the name of Jesus. It may be Friday right now, but Sunday is around the corner in the name of Jesus. The Lord came out. Did you hear what I said? The Lord came out. The Lord came out. What happened to the soldiers? They were on the floor as dead men. Don't worry about the witches. You hear me? Don't worry about the wizards. If God be for you, who can be against you? You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Who will hurt you if you be a follower of that which is good? The reason they think they have power is because Sunday is not here yet. Because when Sunday comes, witches, wizards, come and let me put your hands together and give the Lord a big hand. Glory to God. He came out. The soldiers were on the ground. They couldn't even stop him now. And he just stood there. And I love that. I love that. I wish there would be a replay when we get to heaven of that day. Because he stopped and he looked back. And he said, oh death. He did. He said, oh death. Oh death, where's your sting now? Show me. And then he took one more step and he looked back again and he said, grave, where is your victory? I'm telling you the truth. You're going to be asking some questions in a few more days. And you'll be asking, where are those that are rejoicing? Where are those that said I will never be? Where are those that said I will never have? Because where there is a Friday, glory to God, Sunday ultimately follows. You can't stop it. Did you hear me? It's been ordained. Can I say something to you? It's been ordained. Your victory is already ordained. Turn to somebody and help me tell them your victory, your deliverance, your freedom is already ordained. Hallelujah. It's already ordained. Just like Friday, nobody can stop it. Glory to God. The same way, nobody can stop your Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Don't you know it's a day of new beginnings? Resurrection Sunday is a day of great hope. Resurrection Sunday is a day of great joy. Unexpected surprises. It's a day when your enemies fall out. And you get a clear word from the Lord. doors that you thought will never open will open. The power of God shows up and openly makes manifest what you want, and you get the victory that you need. Good Friday is real, but Easter Sunday is more real. Can I hear an amen to that? You see, on the Friday side, it seems all hope is lost. But on the Sunday side, hope springs eternal. On the Friday side, evil seems to prevail. But on the Sunday side, evil is defeated. On the Friday side, oh my God, we live in fear. On the Sunday side, we live in faith. On the Friday side, we say God is nowhere. On Sunday side, we say God is now here. On the Friday side, we feel like a worm. On the Sunday side, we feel like an eagle. On the Friday side, we seem defeated. On the Sunday side, we live victoriously. It is Friday, but Sunday is coming. Can I say it again? It is Friday, but Sunday is coming. You know, that's why I'm very careful, very, very careful, not to look at a man going through a Friday and write them off. Please, 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 where there is God, and a person has this God, you can never write the conclusion of his life until it is all over. And never, never look at a man and say this one will never amount to anything. Look at what he's going through. As long as there is a God in heaven, he's a way maker. Where you think there is no way, he can make a way for you. He can make a path in the wilderness. He can make a way through the waters. I don't care what you're going through. As long as you are hooked up to God, you could be a great recipient of a great miracle. Did you all hear the story of Harry Truman? You students of American history. In 1940, I read this story, I couldn't believe it. In 1948, Harry Truman, he ran for the election of the 33rd president of the United States. Now, that was the first time Harry Truman will run, because he became president when FDR died. I think it was 83 days into his fourth term. So Truman now ran that one through, and now he had to run again for an election. Truman was running against a highly popular man called Thomas Dewey. And then, you know, the public opinion poll, they predicted that Dewey will win by a landslide. Newsweek magazine, your own lovely Newsweek magazine, they polled 50 top political experts throughout the country. You know what this expert said? They gave Dewey 366 electoral votes. Now that's about 100 more than he needed. The Fort Lauderdale Daily News, they even took it a step higher. They flatly announced that Dewey will defeat Truman and get 62% of the vote. Life magazine, they even took it a step further. They had a full page picture of Mr. Dewey with a caption before the election. And they had it, they said, the new president travels by ferry boat over the broad waters of San Francisco Bay. The election wasn't even yet. The Kiplinger letter, I don't know if it's still in existence. They had their own publication. And they gave it to leading businessmen all over the United States. You know what they did in the letter? They described the economic policies of the new Dewey administration. The election wasn't even yet. Oh, close to you here. The Manchester Guardian. Their final election report was called, listen to this, Harry S. Truman, a study of failure. Or rather, study of a failure. That was what they wrote about the sitting president. The election wasn't even yet. Oh, the Chicago Tribune. I know them. They had already published their headline. In fact, I saw it online yesterday. You can buy it. And they are selling it for big money, $950. And they captioned it the greatest error in newspaper print. You know what their own headline was? The Chicago Tribune. They wrote it, "Do it! Defeats Truman." That's what they wrote. See, that's what they wrote in hell when Jesus was in the grave. Satan defeats Jesus. And they were circulating it through hell. But they got another thing coming. Those who are circulating your death. Those who are circulating your defeat. Am I pointing to somebody this morning? Those who are circulating that is over with you. Turn to somebody and tell them, they got another thing coming. Yeah, they got another thing coming. Because it's just Friday. It's just Saturday. Sunday is around the corner. I'm not done with my story. On election night, you know what Mr. Dewey did? He came to New York here. And he started working on his acceptance speech. He was removing the bugs from there, the things he didn't like, working on his acceptance speech. Harry Truman, a man that everybody had said will be defeated, was just stayed in Missouri. He was taking a Turkish bath, whatever that is, eating a ham sandwich, and drinking a glass of milk. He was watching and listening to the election results. Hear this. At 6 p.m., he was defeated. At 6 p.m., he was defeated. At 10 p.m., he was defeated. At midnight, he was defeated. In fact, at midnight, hear me, he was losing by over 1 million votes. So you know what the old man did? He went to bed. He went to bed. He gave up hope. I want to say to you, prisoners of hope, it's not over yet. Did you hear what I said? Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. You know, sometimes you look at your situation and you agree with your enemies. And you say, it's over. I agree with them. Let me go to bed. So he went to bed. At 4 a.m. See, there's a 4 a.m. after 2 a.m. At 2 a.m. he was listened by 1.2 million votes. At 4 a.m. a secret service agent stormed into his hotel room. Ba, 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 ba. Bosa, 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 bosa. Truman woke up. Truman went and opened the door. And the agent said, "Congratulations." He said, Congrat what? Ah, let me shake somebody's hand and tell them, "Congratulations. Congratulations, 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 congratulations." And that's what they will be saying. Congratulations is in order this morning. Because he arose, you will arise also. He said, "Congrat what?" He said, "They finished counting the votes. And you won by over 2 million votes. Talk about a turnaround, a turnaround, a turnaround, a turnaround. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what's going on with you this morning, but if Jesus rose from the dead, he will turn your situation around. He who laughs last. The man said, I won. He said, you won. He said, but all the newspapers said I lost. He said, let them see. All the experts said I will lose. Let them see. But the people have spoken. And the people said, you are the one they want. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens to the one that has been making the acceptance speech? Now he has to make a concession speech in the name of Jesus. Because at 10:40 that morning, he went before the microphone. He kept his acceptance speech. And now he had to concede and congratulate the one that they said will never win. I know they have said it about you, that you are a loser. I know they have said it about you, that you'll never win. But if there is still a God in heaven, oh Lord, he who laughs. Hey, let me tell you this morning. Truman won. Despite and in spite of all that the commentators and the newspapers and all the polls have said about him, what looked like a sure defeat turned into the greatest victory in American history. The same is true of Christ at Calvary. When many viewed what transpired on that day as not so good, on that Friday, about 2,000 years ago, the opinion polls was saying that Jesus was defeated, that he had lost, and that the Jewish leaders had already won. While Jesus hung on the cross that day, his opponents were planning their victory party and writing the headlines from the Jerusalem Constitution. Jesus defeated at Calvary. But that was Friday. Because, as it turned out, they were wrong. You know what I'm here to tell you this morning? Devils, demons, and men will be proved wrong. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. I said devils and demons and men will be proved wrong about you also. Let me turn to someone and tell them, devils will be proved wrong. Men will be proved wrong concerning your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, hear me, shall get involved in your situation. The story is not over. It's Friday. But don't forget, Sunday is around the corner. Aren't you happy he arose this morning? Aren't you happy he's no more in the grave? Consequently, whatever you're going through, or whatever is going through you, the Lord will surprise you. Let me wave your hand and say, thank you for rising from the dead. Thank you for rising from the dead. As I close, I remember a story I read this past week. There was a man who's never been to church, who doesn't know anything about the Christian faith. He stood by the window of his store. And it was Easter time. And he saw the drawing of the cross and Jesus on the cross. He looked and looked fascinated by what he saw. As he stood there gazing I don't know how long he was there, but when he moved, he found out there was a little boy, 10-year-old boy, by his side. Oh, he said, "You're looking too." And he said, "Yes." He said, "You like the picture?" The man said, "It's incredible." He said, "Do you know who that was?" He said, "No. I just think the artist did a super job." "Oh," he said, "it really happened." He said, "It happened?" He said, "Yes, it did." He said, "That was Jesus on the cross. That's the leader of the Christian faith." "So that was Jesus on the cross?" He said, "Yes." "So you see those soldiers around him? Those were the Roman soldiers." He said, "Really?" "So you see that woman beside him?" He said, "That's his mother, Mary." And he said, "Wow, for a mother to witness the death of his son." And he asked the boy, he said, "Did he make it?" He said, "No." He said, "He died on the cross." He said, "He died on the cross?" "Huh." He shook his head. And he walked away. Because he had somewhere else to go. He said, "He died." Oh. After he had gone for about 100 yards, he heard footsteps behind him. Of somebody running. It was a little boy. He was running. He was running after him. So he looked back. He said, Sir, "I didn't finish the story." He said, "I didn't finish the story." He said, "What else?" He said, "He rose. Even though he died, he rose." I'm here to tell you this morning, your story is not finished yet. Your story is not finished yet. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Come on, rise up on your feet this morning. Because he lives. Come on, help me sing. I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Because he lives. All fear is gone. All fear. Because I know. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living. And life is worth the living just because. Can we sing that chorus one more time? Sing it with me. Because he lives, yeah. I can face tomorrow. Yes, Lord. Because he lives. Hallelujah. All fear is gone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because I know he. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Sing it one more time. Because he lives. Hallelujah. Because he lives. Yes, you know. I confess to Father, we thank you for your word this morning. bless your name because you are the God of truth. We thank you because these things are written so we can have hope. That it may look bad today, but joy is around the corner. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl under the sound of my voice. Whatever they are facing right now on their Friday, Lord, I want you to use these words to encourage them that tomorrow is going to be all right. That they need not to be afraid of anything. That God has a good plan, a great plan, a mighty plan for their lives. It is not death that holds their future. It is not witches that hold their future. It is not wizards that hold their future. It is God that holds the future. Consequently, we'll live life. And we'll live life to the fullest. Because he lives. Thank you, Father, for the answer. We bless your name and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Everybody say, remain standing. I want us to sing this for us before we sit down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's just celebrate him this morning. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Come on. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Come on, celebrate the King of Kings. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He's risen, say, he's risen. He's risen. And he lives forevermore, forevermore. My God is risen. Come on, celebrate the King of Kings, yeah. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate him, yeah. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He's worthy of the praise. Come on, say, celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He's risen, say, he is risen. Time, come on, say celebrate, say.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Hey,
celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Is it anyone in all the place? Come on, celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
We celebrate our King, our Lord, our Savior. Hey, hey. He's risen.
He's risen.
His reason is free. His reason. He lives forevermore. Forevermore, say forevermore. My God, his reason is free. His reason. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of God. Hallelujah.